Welcome to the From the Field broadcast. It is my hope and prayer that God will use this message to touch your heart. Thank you for listening. May God bless.
And we'll look over here in the book of Joshua chapter 5. And then I'll read just a few verses here in Paul's pastoral epistle to Timothy. And his second one there, 2 Timothy, we'll read a verse there. Let's look together at the Word of God and ask Him to help us tonight. We need some help, don't we?
Right.
Something I pray that'll help us on down the way.
Amen.
And that is truth.
Hey.
Truth and knowing the truth will set us free. And so we can have a copy of truth and never really look at it, never get into it, never read it, never study it.
Right.
And it ain't going to do a whole lot of good for you.
Amen.
But if you'll study the truth and there's a duo, there's a combination that's really fail-proof. It's spirit and truth. You get those two together, and I promise you, you'll be right in the middle of the road, and it'll be a help to you.
Amen.
Let's read first over here in Paul it was just a verse or two from 2 Timothy, and I want to read that first. It's in the last chapter, chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse number 16, the Bible says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Now we look over here in our reading over in Joshua chapter 5. And we come to this ending of this chapter. The Bible says, I'll read a few selections of the verse here, beginning of verse 12. "And the manna ceased on the morrow, after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. It came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lift up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord,
yes, sir,
am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship him, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." We look over here in our text tonight as well, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we come to a portion here where it says, "And Jehoshaphat feared," verse number 3, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah." Now, why was he afraid? We see the answer in verse number 1. "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle." I want to look tonight on a little thought that the Lord's been stirring in my heart on what to do when what you're facing is bigger than you. What to do when what you're facing is bigger than you. Oftentimes, God's leading in our life, His direction for our life, is seemingly an overwhelming task. Oftentimes, what comes upon us in life is overwhelming. Oftentimes, we're faced with news that was maybe come as a shock. But I want to say that God has some wonderful treasures here. I believe will be a help to us tonight. Jehoshaphat is a king in Israel, in Judah rather. And as Jehoshaphat has learned, it just come up one day. He's going about his daily duties. Have you ever gotten news that just seemingly come out of nowhere? Alarming news that maybe put your heart troubled, maybe got your mind in a tailspin. Jehoshaphat has learned that not only Ammon, not only Moab, but others have come up to battle against him.
Right.
And the battlefield is a very, very big battlefield. And he looks at his resources, and he looks at all the enemy and all the armies in array, and he comes to this conclusion that that he's afraid.
Right, sure.
And he looks to the Lord for help. He sees his resources aren't adequate. He's not able to fight this fight. He's not able to retrieve a victory. Uh-huh. And so he calls a fast, and they begin to pray and seek God. And as they pray, there is a man of God, a Levite. He comes in the midst of the congregation. And he says to them, don't be afraid of this battle, neither be dismayed of this battle. He said, because it's not yours, but God's. And so we find here a principle when we're faced with something bigger than what we are, that we must walk by faith and not by sight. Realize that the battle is not ours to fight to begin with, but it's God's battle. And so there is a principle here that we can apply in our life, that no matter what comes down our way, we ought to trust God for the final result. And so he says, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. He goes on and says, tomorrow, go ye down against them. He said, behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And he says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. For tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And so we find this key scripture here, that their instructions are to go out and stand still, and they'll see the salvation of the Lord. We find the very same scripture mentioned over in Exodus chapter 12, where the Bible speaks of the children of Israel coming up to the very borders of the shores of the Red Sea, and in their fear and in their dismay, they asked Moses what to do, and Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And so we see God fought the battle in that particular day, in the day of Moses, and drowning Pharaoh and his army, and setting the captives free. And so we find this here again in this battle, as they already possess the land of Canaan.
Right.
And so they go into battle. And as they're in Canaan, already in Canaan's land, they understand that they've acquired this as part of their inheritance.
Right.
It's what God had done concerning Joshua. Now we know the Bible tells us there, that we read in your hearing tonight, that Joshua has now taken over command over the children of Israel and leading them in the Canaan land. Uh-huh. Moses passed on the authority of leadership unto him, and saying, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance the land, which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe and do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. He says, turn not from it, you'll prosper greatly.
That's right.
And so Joshua, he goes forward and leading in the land. And I find it amazing now, as Joshua here is faced at a place where he has been obedient unto God.
Right.
And so that obedience has carried down in generation after generation.
Right.
Stories that have been told and retold have been passed down from generation to generation.
Uh-huh.
I appreciate when the saints of God testify in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And it's got realness on it. And they're not talking about a sore knee or a buttered up thumb. But they're talking about how God's been faithful.
Yeah.
How that God's provided.
Yeah.
How that when times have gotten down to the bottom of the barrel, God has provided.
Yeah.
And so it's those stories that's passed on to the next generation.
Right.
I remember Mama standing up numerous of times and slapping those hands together. And just bragging on God and how good God's been to her. And she'd say, I'd go to the cupboard and there'd be full of stuff. How God had just blessed her. And those wonderful thoughts are part of our inheritance now on this side, that we can partake in and enjoy the grace of God. Because if God was faithful to the generation behind us, we know that He'll be faithful unto the generation now. And these young ones coming up, I will say, He'll still be faithful unto you.
Yes, sir.
So they've no doubt heard stories of old. And as Jehoshaphat hears this famous phrase of stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, no doubt that Levite's mind had gone back to when God had used a man named Moses and said that you're going to see something you've never seen before. That they had never seen God part water. But God said to Moses, stretch out your hand and rod, and I'll open it up. And God sent a strong east wind.
Amen.
And it was at midnight. Can you imagine how the fear and the dismay? How they're walking blindly in darkness. But yet God's wooing them and saying, now's the time to cross over. Now's the time to get in and go to the other side. And they one by one follow suit and they walk across on dry ground. I don't know how long it took. Maybe all night. But I know the following day that when the army of Pharaoh said, we'll go in too. But we'll go after them. We'll destroy. We'll overtake them. And God spoke to Moses and said, raise up the rod again. And he did. And God closed those Red Seas. And it drowned the enemy. No longer was they controlled by Pharaoh or those taskmasters. They was 100% set free.
I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time that you've heard me pray. I just want to thank you, Lord, for always being there.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning into the broadcast today. I hope and pray it's been a blessing to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 2237, Blairsville, Georgia, 30512. Thank you. May God bless you.
I just want to thank